Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's your perspective on that division right now that seems completely up for grabs?
The AL West is the 2023 of the AL Central. And by that I mean no one seems to have it together. It's a very weak division this year, which is, you know, you would say, well, that's weird, you know, given the fact that the Rangers just won the World Series and the Astros have been a juggernaut. But if, for whatever reason, and there are lots of them, it has not been a terribly, hyper-competitive in terms of loss of wins, right? It's just weak. So teams, it's really been weird. The Mariners and Astros have been locked into this thing back and forth for well over a month now. And it's strange. It's like they will win and lose almost on the same day all the time. Now, the Mariners have lost two games in a row to Detroit, after doing damage to the Phillies, who, of course, have been on a bad losing streak, right? So they took advantage of that, the Mariners did. Then they come, the Tigers come in, and they lost the series, right? They're going to play the finale tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The best they can hope for is getting a win out of that one. And the Astros slide a half game into first. So, again, no one seems to be able to break away, per se. And it just seems to be this seesaw going back and forth. And it's, like I said, it's very strange. It's like their cycles are absolutely lined up. They're like win and lose almost exclusively at the same time. This run lately, the Astros have had a bit of a jump on them.
No doubt injuries to key players is at least part of the factor in this fairly tight race and the mediocrity. What else, Maury?
The strangest thing I would say is that at the beginning of the season, right, the Mariners had like a 10-game lead on everybody. And they sat there and went, wow, you know, they're really ripping it up. But if you looked at it, it was really a regression by the Astros. And the Astros were not the Astros we would expect. I expected some form of regression. And you're still kind of seeing that, right? I mean, they don't seem to be the super powerhouse dominant team. The Rangers have not pulled out of their malaise. They continue to slip back. So I think the biggest thing in this has been the Mariners are largely about the same as they were last year, which is not great. They're just good. The Astros and Rangers have pulled back. And so I look at those two factors. I mean, the Angels were going to be bad. The A's were going to be bad. I don't think a lot of people expected the Rangers to drop off as hard as they did. I don't think a lot of people saw the Astros hanging back as far as they did at the beginning of the season. So, again, I keep waiting for somebody to break out. Now, again, you mentioned the injuries. The Mariners have been an odd bird. They are really a split personality in terms of their pitching has been absolutely lights out, and their hitting has been absolutely woeful. Tonight, you know, they had five hits. They had two runs off a Cal Raleigh home run. They struck out 10 times. They lead the league in strikeouts, and not by a small number. I mean, they lead it by a considerable margin. They should not be in the position that they're in. It's only for the fact that the other teams in the division have gotten weaker.
The Mariners went out and acquired Randy Arozarena before the deadline. What kind of impact have you seen so far?
He's a bright spot. The thing with Arozarena was if you looked at his slash line over the course of the season, it did not look good. But if you looked at him from June out, he looked like the Randy Arozarena that we'd expected. And tonight was a perfect example. Here it was, you know, late inning game. He hit a slicing ball into right field for a stand-up double, and he gets stranded. And so, again, he's in place. I keep waiting to see, although strikeouts are still part of the equation with the Mariners, what happens when J.P. Crawford and Julio Rodriguez come off the IL, and whether that is the true lineup that you're really expecting to see. So I'm waiting to see how that goes. Yesterday, Justin Turner had one at-bat that was, he just looked like he was waving at it, and that's just unlike him. Yesterday's game, I said they were flat. Today's game, they were slightly better, but at the end of the game, you know, the bullpen really let it go, and the Tigers, who were in a rebuild, right? I mean, they were traitors at the deadline. They're out there with the youth movement right now. They, by all rights, should not be beating a first-place team as handily as they have the last two games, and yet here we are.
Just to follow up, it's been a few weeks for Julio Rodriguez on the ankle sprain. Any update on when he might be healthy?
Yeah, I haven't heard directly. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be too long. I mean, and Crawford should be the same way. They both went on the 10-day, and then that's kind of stretched out a little bit. Crawford's was a hairline fracture to his pinky. You would expect to see those guys back within the next week, 2 weeks max. You shouldn't be seeing a high ankle sprain be that long. But again, he's, you know, kind of a high-speed guy, and you want him at full strength. Again, the Mariners have been hanging around at the top. Do you wait a little bit? You know, you go back a half a game. Is that, you know, are you in, you know, crisis mode at that stage? No. They're a half game out. So if they can hang on to this thing and get everybody healthy, then so be it. You know, you just don't want him to come back and then hurt himself again.
Yeah, as much as it feels like there's a greater sense of urgency post-deadline, there's still a long way to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Mari Brown with us again, a senior baseball contributor with Forbes, and we're excited to get his perspective on the AL West. Now, I am not a believer in a World Series hangover. To me, it feels like a cop-out, but I would love to hear your perspective, Mari, when it comes to the Rangers.
With Bochy, I wouldn't have expected it. I really didn't. You know, injury bugs and everything have plagued them as well. They were no-hit last night by Framber Valdez. It wasn't until a Corey Seager home run that you really had anything, you know, to hang their hat on and make it look somewhat respectable. But it is, there is that question. It's odd. For the longest time, everybody sat back prior to last year and said they're underachieving. The Rangers had spent the most in total over the last few seasons, eclipsing actually what the Mets had done, right? Which had largely been a one, you know, off-season spending spree. So you would have expected them to be good, and they were. It all came together last year, and they were a very, very good team. What happened in between now and then, I don't know. But again, it is just, you know, baseball is a funny game that way. We rarely, or you shouldn't see it. I mean, the Astros, I think, are a good example in division. They have been competitive for a long window now.
Yes.
I mean, they just seem to be able to do that. They have changing deck chairs. You know, they go through the cheating scandal. You know, there's this major firing of front office personnel and their dugout manager. They rotate that stuff in and out. Dusty Baker comes in as a calming influence, and they go out and win it. Certain teams seem to be able to have that sense of consistency over a period of time. I mean, they may ebb and flow a little bit, right? I mean, but they always seem to be in the hunt and being able to get into the postseason, even if they back themselves in like they did last year, they make hay once they finally get into the postseason. So you've said this already. There's a lot of baseball left.
Yes.
I'm not seeing one team running away with it right now. Could the Mariners easily collapse? Could the Astros then pull back as well? And could the Rangers make a run at it? I suppose, but it's an awful long distance for them to try and make up right now. It would be miraculous, I think, at this stage.
Now, having had two recent World Series champions in the AL West and the Mariners ending what was pro sports' longest playoff drought a couple seasons ago, what is separating them from being able to get to that point or get to that level that the Astros and the Rangers have found recently?
Yeah, this is a great question, and I think this is on the minds of all of us that follow the club very closely. And I would have to say that the biggest thing is, If you go back and you look a few seasons ago, right when the Astros really started to turn it on, when they brought in Justin Verlander right at the deadline, they have made some very big moves. Now, all of that said, this year was odd, right? I mean, there were a lot of sellers, but it was largely not big ticket items. And I think that that's largely related to the fact that we expanded the wild card, and a lot of teams believe that a move here or there doesn't have to be super dramatic. But the Mariners have worked on this thing that has just been like, you know, if we're just good enough, we can just get in and we can put a lot of butts in the seats. And they have. And they're technically still right there. But they have not gone fully in. I mean, this trade deadline, I would say, you know, Randy Arozarena is a, you know, a significant piece. They needed bats. They desperately needed bats. I don't think they still have enough. Justin Turner, of course, is on, you know, I mean, he's getting up there in age. He's at the end of his career, but he's still a good element in the clubhouse. Was it enough? I don't know with what was available. And most of these other teams were not moving top prospects. You only saw that a little bit. And the Mariners prized their prospects, and it gets back to what Jerry DePoto said and has come back about him. You know, if you win 54% of your games, we'll feel pretty good about it. That's not the position you want to be in, which is just being just good enough and wanting to be that way. You should be able to go in at a certain point, and I think that's been their problem. And then they just can't seem to get either side working in tandem very much. I mean, if you go back and you look at Felix Hernandez, right, who's up for the Hall of Fame, right, he was constantly plagued with run support issues. So they have found a way to have good pitching, but they cannot seem to get things going on the other side of the plate and get hitting sorted out. I think that's largely the biggest reason for them.
Mari Brown is with us talking Mariners and AL West, and it's really tight, a half game separating the Astros now in front. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. When Julio Rodriguez broke onto the scene in his rookie year, it seemed like he could be one of baseball's next big stars. Are the Mariners still as high on him? Has his ceiling lifted, or is he in the same place?
You know, it's interesting. They fired their hitting coach and brought in a new one, and it really didn't solve the problem. I mean, I think the biggest problem with Julio, and up and down their lineup, is they're just super aggressive at the plate. They strike out far too much. And this is ironic, I mean, because Julio's right in the mix of that. I think that that's the biggest issue. You look at him and you go and you look at his numbers and you're like, geez, man, if the guy made contact more often, he'd be great. He's fantastic in the field. And he's absolutely a defensive weapon that way, but that's not what they were looking for. They were looking for exactly what you said. When he had his rookie season, how much of a ceiling he looked to have. I think that he eventually gets it sorted out. I mean, he's still very young, but it is one of those things where I don't know if it's what there's been talk about the batter's eye in Seattle, but that does not belie the problem that their strikeouts happen in other ballparks as well. So he's got to get that sorted out. The whole doggone lineup has to. I mean, Mitch Haniger tonight in the seventh spot was just close enough. He was two positions away. The game ended. But he could have had a golden sombrero tonight. He had three at-bats, and he struck out three times. That is not what you want to see. There is just a problem. And Jerry DePoto, last offseason, said that he got rid of Hernandez and he got rid of Suarez because they were trying to lower the number of strikeouts. They had over 1,600 strikeouts last season, Amy. They were 14th out of 15 AL clubs last year. They're leading all of the majors this year, which means they are likely going to surpass that 1,600 strikeout threshold. So Julio has to is part of that equation. Now, he's really got to get it sorted out. And then obviously this injury isn't good. He's not getting the ABs that he needs to try and see as much. And again, I think that they're pressing, and they've been pressing all season.
Mariners just played the Phillies in a recent series. Kyle Schwarber with 3 home runs and 7 RBI against the Dodgers tonight. How close are they to being that team that made it to the World Series a couple years ago and still has really high hopes to grab another championship?
Yeah, I like them. I really do. You know, irrespective, every team, every team in the league goes through, you know, losing cycles. What you don't want, of course, is to have that losing cycle toward the end. And so if they're getting it out of their system and they're going to go ahead and they're going to go and, you know, beat up on the Dodgers, you know, were they looking past the Mariners? Yeah, maybe. They seem to have, I think, a well-balanced roster, and I think that they could easily do some damage. Now, all that said, Amy, somebody's going to sit there and go, you just can't tell in the postseason. I really can't anymore. You look at what happens in the regular season. I can look at the Dodgers, you know, who, they, you know, the Phillies are playing, and you could sit there and go, man, the 110 wins, they're going to go into the postseason and just kill everybody. But there's been so much randomness now that we have this wild card series in play that I think it really changes things up. Something to consider here, Amy, if the World Series goes 7 games this year, the postseason in Major League Baseball will be 1 month and a day. It's extraordinary. I mean, the playoffs are now, you know, have the capacity to go very long. Now, they're going to shore up their schedule if that doesn't happen, and you start to see some situation in which teams are out of their respective division or championship series, and they can move that up. In the last labor negotiations, the owners wanted to add 2 additional wild cards on each side in the AL and the NL, so you would have 4. And the players shot it down and said, we'll give you 1 in each league to go ahead and make that happen. They're for sure, in 2026, they're going to come back with that. And I'll be interested to see what happens with that. I mean, you start to get into the point where I don't know if you can do 162 games. The idea that the regular season used to be a barometer and that if you won your division, it really mattered, I don't think matters that much anymore. So back to the Phillies, I think that they have as good a shot as anybody. They look, I think, formidable and very good. But I just don't know if the regular season is any indication anymore that they're in a better position than some teams, I think, than others, right, that are going to back in. But again, it's just wild how things have turned out since we've had this expanded playoffs with the wild card.
Most people would say parity and competition across the board are good for sports, regardless of what league. What the impact on baseball with this expanded playoffs, in your opinion?
So now I'm going to talk out the other side of my mouth. But it is important, I think, because if you were to think back, you know, less than a decade ago, it was really being owned by, you know, a handful of teams. And I say now that with the playoffs, you have teams. Again, the trade deadline was a good example. When you had me on last time, I said it was a good trade deadline. And I said that was because I didn't see a lot of prospects moving. And everybody else is going, what are you talking about? Where's the big blockbuster, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm looking at it more from the health of the league's perspective. I think that it's very good that you have these situations in which teams that would normally be sellers are able to say, hey, we're right there. We're either in the wild card hunt or we're very close. And therefore, we don't have to go ahead and burn the house down and be able to be competitive in multiple seasons with our prospect pools if we develop well. So I like it. I really do, because you're starting to see teams like the Padres and others that are legitimately trying to give it a go and trying to get into the playoffs. Because, again, once you get in, anything can happen. And that, I think, is building up a lot of hope for fan bases that haven't had it in the past.
Not only is there a ton of real estate left, but it appears as though we're going to have some drama down the stretch, which is great. So maybe we'll just continue our weekly conversations with Mari Brown. He's a senior contributor with Forbes. You can find him at BizBall, B-I-Z, Ball, Mari. Yeah, well, let's not be strangers, because this is fun.
Yeah, Amy, you can have me on anytime. It's always great to talk to you.